Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today's show is an encore edition of the 21st, where we'll revisit some of the conversations we've had in recent months. We'll hear from a linguist about the varied accents you'll hear across Illinois, or is it Illinois, and what separates a Chicago accent from one in Carbondale. Later in the show, many college football programs have come under fire recently for racial inequality, but one sports writer says the coaching staff at the University of Illinois could be a model of diversity. But first, scientists around the world are racing to produce an effective vaccine for COVID-19. Here in Illinois, the state cannot enter the fifth and final phase of its pandemic reopening plan until that vaccine is developed. The Trump administration announced yesterday it would purchase 600 million doses made by the drug company Pfizer and a German biotech company. But despite that government contract, there, of course, is not a vaccine yet. It's still in development. Here in Illinois, there's a COVID-19 vaccine trial underway in Chicago for another company, Moderna. It's just one of a handful of trials around the world that's in phase 3, testing the vaccine on thousands of volunteers. Last month, we spoke with Dr. Richard Novak. He's head of the Division of Infectious Diseases at UI Health in Chicago, and he's lead investigator on that clinical trial. Here's that interview. Dr. Novak, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much for having me.
This vaccine that you'll begin testing is different from, say, a flu vaccine, right, where there's some non-active virus in it. I understand that what you're testing actually doesn't contain any coronavirus, but it does help your body develop antibodies. Can you talk about how this vaccine would work?
Sure. Actually, the vaccine contains genetic material of the virus. It's fully synthetic, but it's a genetic material, RNA, that codes for a certain protein on the virus. And so I'm sure everybody's seen pictures or drawings of the virus, and it looks like a sphere with a bunch of spikes on it, or little triangular spikes. And it's those spikes that are of interest, because depicts the part of the virus that attaches to the host cells of our body, and allows the virus to get inside the cells. So it's analogous to a key, for example, that unlocks the cell and lets it get inside. And that's what the vaccine is trying to reproduce. It's trying to make that spike protein. So when we inject the vaccine, it's just naked RNA. It's bare genetic material, and it gets taken up by our cells, and it directs the cells to make this protein, the spike protein, and it's shown on the outside of the cells. And the immune system sees that, recognizes that it's a foreign substance, and then starts making antibodies to it. And it's those antibodies that we want so that when there's an actual infection with COVID-19, the virus is trying to get into the body, the antibodies will bind to that spike protein and prevent it from getting in our cells.
So I was trying to think of the analogy here in terms of the lock and the key. I like it. It's basically, instead, it's not quite putting super glue in the lock, but maybe some sort of something in the body that will glom onto the key to prevent it from going into the lock.
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly what it does.
So who is developing this potential vaccine?
So this particular vaccine is being made by a company called Moderna. It's a novel strategy.
And as I understand it, you're going to be conducting phase 3 of a clinical trial for the vaccine. Can you help us understand what that means?
Sure. Clinical research starts with phase 1 studies. There's preclinical, which is developing in the laboratory. Then when they start actually giving it to people, they do first a phase 1 study, which is mainly looking at safety issues, but also in vaccine research, they look at what's called immunogenicity, which means what kind of an immune response is generated, and how, is it what we want? So they did a phase 1 study with the Moderna vaccine, and it's usually done a small number of people. I think there were 40 people in the phase 1 study, and it was able to show both safety and immunogenicity. It was the immune responses are then measured by taking blood samples and looking at the serum from the blood and the ability of the serum to neutralize the virus in the laboratory. Neutralize means just how we described it, blocks the virus from getting into cells. And so it worked. The vaccine was able to do both those things and did it safely. And so after the phase one study is done, they go on to phase two. And those phase two studies are similar to phase one, but they're in a much larger number of people. Those phase two studies are actually still underway, but because of the urgency of getting a vaccine for COVID-19, the decision was made to move rapidly into phase three. Now, this is being done by a network that has been created by the National Institutes of Health. The Coronavirus Prevention Network is a network that is made up of a conglomeration of all the other networks that are funded by the NIAID, which is National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. A phase three trial is a very large trial, which is really focused on efficacy. They want to know if a vaccine works or not. So this particular study is a randomized, double-blinded, controlled trial that's going to be done in 30,000 people throughout the United States, and which is an enormous size study. And not only is it a large study, but it has to be done very rapidly. It's part of what has been dubbed Operation Warp Speed. And it really, from a vaccine point of view, is going at warp speed because we're expected to fully enroll the trial within 7 weeks of starting. And that's unprecedented, frankly. So here in Chicago, we're hoping to enroll 1,000 people into the study, and the enrollment will likely begin in early July. The target date is July 9th, but that's a flexible date that might change.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Dr. Richard Novak, head of the Division of Infectious Diseases at UI Health in Chicago and lead investigator on a clinical trial for a potential vaccine for the novel coronavirus. And a few minutes ago, you mentioned that this is a novel approach for a vaccine by this company. Can you talk a little bit more about what makes it novel and as opposed to, you know, other vaccines that people might be more familiar with?
Sure. There are a variety of strategies for making vaccines. I mean, some of the earliest vaccines were just a piece of protein from the virus. Proteins are the final thing that the immune system sees. And so first vaccines were just injections of protein. Then other people also tried early vaccines were just inactivated viruses. They're dead virus, basically. Other strategies, more recent strategies, involve what we call vector vaccines. And those are instances where we take the genetic material of one virus and put it inside of another virus. They're not complete viruses, but they use the shell, basically, of another virus because that particular shell is very effective at getting into our cells where we want to deliver the genetic material to code for the proteins we're most interested in that will cause the immune response from the target virus, which in this case would be COVID-19 or coronavirus. So those are more traditional routes of virus development. There are also what we call attenuated viruses, where they take the actual virus, but they pass it in the laboratory multiple times until it becomes somewhat weakened, and they use that as the vaccine. The measles virus, for example, is one of those. And we have a number of other examples of attenuated virus that work that way. Polio virus, the live polio vaccine, works that way.
Getting back to this particular trial for the vaccine, you mentioned 1,000 patients. Who are these people, and how will you know if it's successful?
So this vaccine is aimed at primarily people who are most likely to get sick from the infection. And those are people over the age of 65. Or people who have some underlying chronic illness, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, chronic lung disease, or heart disease. We already know from the pandemic and the cases of people who've gotten sick that they usually fall into those groups. And so we're going to target those people primarily for the vaccine, because the study endpoint for the vaccine is, in this case, is symptomatic illness. We want to know how many people get physically ill from the disease and whether or not the vaccine prevents that, rather than just preventing infection. It would be great, and I imagine some people will have complete prevention of infection, but the most important thing is that we prevent symptomatic disease. And so we need people in the study who will have symptomatic disease if they get sick. The way these vaccine trials work is that half the people will get the vaccine and the other half will get a placebo. It's double blinded, which means that neither the investigators nor the participants will know what they're getting. And at some time points along the way, as the trial moves forward, an unblinded group of scientists will look at the data. And what they're looking for is to see if there are fewer infections or fewer symptomatic infections in the placebo, in the vaccine arm rather than the placebo arm. So that would be a sign that the vaccine is having an effect, as opposed to if everybody had the same number of infections in both arms, it would indicate the vaccine wasn't doing anything.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, developing a vaccine usually takes years. I wonder, why does it typically take so long? And I mean, you mentioned that the process is being expedited for COVID-19. Can you talk about that aspect of this trial?
Yes. So the reason that vaccine trials take long is because it takes a while to first to find an effective vaccine, but you also have to have a certain number of cases of the disease in order to be able to reach a conclusion about whether or not the vaccine is working. Now, in the case of COVID-19, we're coming through a period where we've had a huge number of cases, and now it's starting to fall off, particularly here in Illinois. As planned, if we start this study in July and there aren't a lot of active infections going on, it may take a while to accrue enough infections to be able to say anything about the effect of the vaccine. Now, if things do accelerate again in the fall, as many people are predicting, then we'll start to see a lot more cases and we'll be able to reach study endpoints a lot quicker. So worst case scenario, this trial is designed to go on for 2 years, but it could go to the full 2 years before we have an answer. However, if we do have an increase in the number of cases, we could get an answer as early as even December. It's really a function of how many cases there are in the population.
Interesting. So I want to remind our listeners that we have a new initiative here at the 21st. It's called Text the 21st, and you can join by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's TALK to 217-803-0730. And a few weeks ago in our texting group, we asked listeners the question, with Illinois in phase 3 of reopening, are you engaging in your normal activities and how are you keeping yourself safe? And we got a response from a listener who said, not yet. Quote, I'm retired and vulnerable for health reasons. I will not resume normal activities until there is a vaccine, end quote. So, Doctor, you mentioned that, I mean, it could be as early as December. It could take the full 2 years of the trial. I wonder, not just this trial, but, I mean, do you have a gut instinct as to how close you think we might be for getting a vaccine from the sort of testing phase to where it's actually available from a drugstore or doctor's office for widespread use?
Well, I wish I could tell you for sure what was going to happen, but I guess I just don't know. My experience having done vaccine trials for so many years is that it's just not safe to predict. I'm very hopeful that this vaccine will work. One thing I can tell you is that the reason there are so many participants in the study is because there's tremendous interest in getting an answer quickly. And so if you enroll 30,000 people, you're going to get a lot more study endpoints in a short period of time than if we enrolled only 1,000 people. And also, this is only the first of a series of vaccines that are going to be tested in a short period of time. The plan is to move forward very quickly with a series of vaccine trials. This will be the first, beginning in July, but there'll be another one in August, another in September, another in October, and another in November, and possibly another in December. So there are all these very large studies that are being done very rapidly. So even if this vaccine is not it, maybe one of the subsequent ones are, or maybe we'll have something that is partially effective early on and then later find something that's more effective Or maybe we'll just hit the jackpot and this first one will be it. We can only hope.
We can only hope. So if people want to volunteer to participate in this clinical trial, is that something they can do? And if so, how can they sign up?
They certainly can. It would be best for people in the Chicago area because this is where we're testing it. They can access our email address. It's projectwish@uic.edu. Or they can call our phone number. Project Wish, by the way, is our clinical research site. And the phone number is 312-413-5897.
And we will put both that address and the phone number on our website, and we'll also tweet it out on our Twitter page, which is 21st Show, 21ST Show, if people weren't able to get that down while they're maybe driving around right now. So Dr. Richard Novak is the head of infectious diseases at UI Health in Chicago and the lead investigator on an upcoming clinical trial for a potential coronavirus vaccine. Dr. Novak, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, and good luck with the trial.
Thank you so much.
Coming up after the break, a conversation on accents across Illinois. Stay with us. This is The 21st.